Well, we do rejoice with Stuart and Kendra McRae in the safe arrival of their little daughter, Lois Ella McRae, and they have brought Lois to God's house this morning and are desirous that the Lord's blessing will be upon the life of little Lois. I want to read some verses of Scripture from Mark chapter 10, from verse 13 to verse 16. The Word of God says on this occasion that they brought young children to Him, that is, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. And we know the Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His Word. This portion records how the mothers of Israel brought their children to Jesus that He might bless them. There are a number of things I would highlight and point out about this occasion. First of all, these mothers recognized that Jesus Christ was the one who could spiritually bless their children. They recognized that Jesus Christ was more than a mere mortal man. In fact, He was the God-man, God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God. And therefore, they wanted their children blessed of Him. They also made a request. They requested that the Lord would touch them, the little children. It's interesting, if you read the New Testament, the Gospels, you will discover that when the Lord blessed, He often touched. When He opened the eyes of the blind, He touched the blind man and He opened their eyes. When He raised the widow's son to life, He touched the bar or the coffin. The blessing was in the touch. And it's not the touch of any mere man, it was the touch of Christ, the God-man. And they wanted Christ to touch or bless their children. But there was a refusal, because the disciples would drive the children away. They thought the Lord was too busy with the adults to take time for the little infants or the children. And so they were going to usher the parents away. And it was then that the Lord rebuked His own disciples, men who turned the world upside down with evangelism among adults. But He rebuked those disciples for their harsh attitude toward the children. In fact, He was much displeased. And then He received the children. And I want to read verse 16 again. It says, He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. And I would say to Stuart and to Kendra that true blessing upon the lives of our children comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses us with health and with strength. He blesses us with all the common mercies in life. But the greatest blessing any little child can know, the greatest blessing any adult can know, is the blessing of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our prayer that the Lord, though He has now ascended far above all into heaven, that spiritually He will touch the life of your little daughter, and that she will have His blessing, the blessing of eternal life and the blessing of joy and happiness throughout all the days of her life. Would the congregation please stand? As the parents in Israel brought their children to Jesus, so Kendra and Stuart have brought their little daughter, Lois Ella McRae, to the Lord's house today. and desirous of Christ's blessing upon their child, I therefore receive and dedicate Lois Ellen McCrae unto the Lord in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us bow our heads together in prayer as we remain standing. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee for the family. We thank you, Lord, for the gift and the blessing of children. We thank you, Lord, for the safe arrival of Lois into the world. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that she has of a loving mother and father. We thank you for her older brother, too. And Lord, it is our prayer today that, Lord, thou wilt watch over this little child. Lord, as she grows into childhood and then into adulthood, we pray that the Lord's hand of grace and goodness will be upon her. Protect her. Lord, undertake for her. May she grow, may she develop, may she have all the blessings and necessities in life. May the Lord supply all of her temporal needs. But Lord, we take a moment today to pray that in time to come, when Lois grows to the age of understanding, and we pray that she will, Lord, when she comes to that age of reasoning and understanding, may she know there was a man who came into this world, the God-man, the Son of God, who came to offer up his life upon the cross of Calvary, so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And may Lois Ellen McCrae, in time to come, experience the gift of God's salvation. We ask in Jesus' name. Continue with us now as we worship thee and do us good in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus and the chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, and I'm going to read from the 15th verse to the verse 26. Exodus chapter 32, and reading from verse 15 to the verse 26, and let us hear together the word of the Lord. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, one on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. I pause for a moment and just remind you that Moses was descending the Mount of Sinai with the two tables of the law in his hands, and the Word of God is emphasizing that they were the writing or the work of the Lord. The children in the children's meeting this term were learning the Ten Commandments. And we were stressing to them on the last night when I spoke to them on the prize-giving night that the commands were not the commands of Moses, but they were the commands of God who wrote them. The Bible tells us with his finger, the finger of God, wrote of stone. And these verses are emphasizing that the law is the law of God and not the law of man. We'll pick up the reading in verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that do sing I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And he said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 26. And it is our prayer that God will bless the public reading of his inspired word to our hearts this morning. I want to speak to you this morning on that great call that was given by Moses to the people of Israel that is recorded in verse 26 of Exodus chapter 32. We read in that verse, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. This call was given by Moses to the congregation of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. That mountain will forever be associated with the law of God, because it was there that God gave in writing, and I stress in writing because his law had been given from the commencement of this world through Adam and to his descendants. But there on the mount, God wrote it in stone, showing that it can never be done away with. And he gave in writing his law to Moses, and through Moses it was given to the children of Israel. Book of Exodus tells us that when God gave the law, the Mount of Sinai was covered with a thick cloud. It burned with fire. There was darkness over the mount, and there was that cloud and that smoke. There were thunders and lightnings. And it signifies to us and it teaches us that it is a most serious and solemn, a somber thing to meet God on the grounds of the law. The law condemns us. The law exposes our sin. But it's by Jesus Christ that we have salvation and grace. When God gave the law to Moses, he first of all brought that law down to the people, and he rehearsed the words that the Lord had spoken to him on the mount. And we read, the people of Israel accepted it. They entered into covenant with God. They said, all the words or all the Lord has spoken, we will do. And on that occasion, Israel covenanted to be the nation and the earthly people of God. Moses returned up the mount. And he was there for 40 days. The Lord was giving him the instructions for the tabernacle, where they would publicly gather to worship and to praise the Lord and to hear His word. But while he was gone, while he was with Joshua on that mountain, and God was drawing him aside to give him further revelation from himself, there was rebellion in the camp below. The elders and the leaders of Israel, they disowned Moses. They said, he's left us, he's abandoned us, he's not coming back, and we're left in this wilderness. We'll die of thirst and we'll perish. They disowned Moses. They threatened Aaron. They made a golden calf, an idol, as their god, and they forsook the God of heaven who had brought them out of Egypt and led them safely thus far. At God's command, Moses came down the mount. At God's command, Moses went into the camp and he destroyed that idol. He ground it to dust. And then he stood at the gate of the camp and he ushered these words, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." It has been said, and I believe rightly said, that the Bible is an up-to-date book. To many, it's just a collection of the writings of ancient religious men. And it's to be ignored in this generation in which we live. But I believe it has been rightly described that the Bible is more up to date than tomorrow morning's headlines. It has a message for every generation, and it has a message for every age. And as I look at what happened in the camp of Israel, and as I see what took place, and as I listen to the call of Moses, how relevant it is for today. I believe it's still appropriate to make this call and to challenge men and women and all that's going on in society. Who is on the Lord's side? And from that call, there are four things I want to highlight, and I'll be as concise, brief as I can, but there are four things I want you to consider from this call that Moses gave there at the foot of Sinai. Who is on the Lord's side? The first thing is this: I want you to see and understand the truth that it contains. By putting the question to the congregation, the challenge, who is on the Lord's side? Moses was setting forth the reality that you are either for the Lord and with the Lord and on His side, or you are against Him. This statement, this challenge, this call defines the fact that there are really only two types of people in the world. We've heard it often said. We are not defined by the color of our skin. We are not defined in God's eyes by the nation we live in. But rather, as God looks down from heaven, He sees those that have sided with Him and with righteousness, or who have rejected Him and sided with sin, and indeed with the arch sinner, as we would say, the rebel against God, that fallen angel, the devil. You're either for the Lord and with the Lord, or you're against Him. That's what Moses is saying. You're either on the side of the Lord or you're on the side of the idolaters. And it's genuinely the case in this day and generation that we can ask the question, are you on the Lord's side or are you on the side of sin? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that He Himself spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He said this, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." The Lord Jesus is underlining that same truth that Moses had called the people to all those centuries before. He said, If you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't sow with me, then you scatter abroad. And what the Lord was saying to the Pharisees, there's no neutrality in the things of God. There's no sitting on the fence. The Bible describes how that in this world there are two paths, there are two peoples, and there are two positions. Jesus spoke about the two paths, the broad way that leads to destruction, the narrow way that leads to eternal life. He spoke about two peoples, my sheep and the goats of this world. And he spoke about two positions, or rather the Bible speaks about two positions. Elijah challenged the people, how long hold ye between two opinions? There's the opinion of truth contained in God's word, and there's all other opinions that lead to falseness and false religion and false ways. And the challenge that Moses was giving, the challenge that Jesus gave, and the challenge that God's preachers and ministers must give today is to ask, are you on the Lord's path? Are you with the Lord's people? Have you taken the Lord's position? Or are you yet in the path of sin? This challenge not only highlighted the truth that you are either for the Lord or you are against the Lord, but it highlights the truth that men are called to make a decision as to which side of the gospel divide they are really on. Moses is saying, are you with the Lord or are you with the idolatrous camp? Are you with the Lord or are you with the camp of sin? And so he's calling men to make a decision. Now I know the Bible teaches us that there's more to God's salvation than just a mental assent or a mental choosing. But the Bible uses this language that men and women will make the choice for the Lord, that they'll choose to put their faith in Christ. They'll choose to follow Christ. They'll choose to repent of their sin. Isn't that what Joshua called the people to in Joshua 24 and 15? He's about to die. He's at the end of his life. And he said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If the Lord be God, I'm paraphrasing now, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if the gods of the Amorites and the Ammonites and of our fathers on the other side of the flood, then follow him. And he was calling them to make that choice. And I believe I'm justified in using that language to say Moses is calling men in his day to make that choice on which side of the gospel divide they are on. You place yourself on the Lord's side by choosing him to be your Savior, by choosing to believe on him for the deliverance of your soul from sin, choosing to follow him as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you a personal question this morning. I'm not asking you to answer publicly the way Moses did. But I'm asking you in the quietness of your heart, has there been that time in your life's experience when you have recognized that you are a sinner, that your sin has separated you from God, and that Jesus Christ is the only person, the only way that you can have your sins forgiven, be made right with God and ready for the world to come and have a home in heaven as opposed to perishing in that place the Bible calls hell? Have you chosen Christ to be your Savior? The hymn writer said, make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice. Will you be in time? Who is on the Lord's side? There's a truth here. You're either for the Lord and with the Lord, or you're against the Lord and you're not with the Lord. On whose side? On which side do you fall? My friend, neutral you cannot be. The old hymn got it right when it spoke about choosing Jesus. Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be saying, what will he do with me? That's the truth this challenge contains. But then I want you to notice the time that this challenge was given. You see, as we read this portion of Scripture, we discover that when Moses gave this call, it was a time when sin was rampant among the people. It had taken over in the camp. And can I just comment before we look at the specific sin? When sin abounds, the preacher is not to back off and keep silent. No, Moses, when sin was rampant, he challenged the people. Who is on the Lord's side? And when sin is rampant, the preacher needs to raise his voice and call the people to repentance and call them, on which side do you fall? Are you with the Lord or are you on the side of sin? What was the sin that was rampant in the camp? Well, verses 1 and verse 4 tell us there was the sin of idolatry. Verse 1 says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not is become of him. Look at verse 4. And he received them at their hand, that is the gold, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf and said, these be thy gods, O Israel. We can scarce believe it. Just a few chapters before, just a month or so previously, Moses had come down the mount with the table of the law. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the sea. People said, all the Lord has said, we will do. And yet, just a short time later, they bring their gold and they put it in the furnace and they bring out the golden calf and they say, these are our gods or this is our God. And they offer sacrifice to it in a superstitious act of idolatrous worship. That idolatry had taken over the camp. But then you'll see that there was not only idolatry. You'll see that there was indecency or immorality. Verse 6, it tells us that they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I want you to notice the phrase, they rose up to play. Then look at verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. Now, the reference to nakedness there, it may not and it probably does not refer to complete nakedness, but it was a stripping down, a state of undress. And in their state of undress, they rose up then to play with various fleshly sins taking place. You see, when false religion gets a hold, the morals of the people always descend. And what we discover is that they were not only given to false religion and idolatry, they were given to immorality. And then I want you to notice there was not only idolatry and immorality, there was indifference. Who was leading the whole scene whenever Moses was coming down on and coming down the mount? Well, verse 2 tells us that it was Aaron. Verse 1 and 2 tells us that they spoke unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods. Can I just pause for a moment and say, Aaron was a good man. Aaron was a saved man. Aaron was a man of God. There's no question about that. But such was the pressure that was put on him by the people. They pressurized him. And Bible commentators think that they threatened him and perhaps that even Hur died as a martyr on this occasion. When Moses speaks to Aaron later on in the chapter, we read it. He said, they said, what has become of Moses? He's abandoned us. And commentators believe they threatened him. And under the threat of violence and possibly death, he took their gold and he made that golden image for them. He was a good man. He was a saved man. He was a man of God. But he compromised. And he made the golden image. And he was found in the midst of that state of sin in the camp when Moses came down from the mount. I ask you this morning, is this not a mirror image of society, generally speaking, today? The professing Christendom, and I use that phrase very loosely, simply talking about religious denominations, institutions, religious colleges and societies at large. They've given way on many of even the fundamental teachings of God's Word. Society at large has descended and degenerated into accepting all kinds of immorality and sin with no sense to it. And many, even of those who profess to be God's people, find themselves for one reason or another in a state of compromise where they've gone along with the error. They've gone along with the sin. And at such a time, Moses came down that mount at God's command, and he had those tables of the law in his hand. Said, who is on the Lord's side? There's a decision to be taken. There's a choice to be made. You're with the Lord or you're with the camp of sin. There's not only a truth, you're with the Lord or you're with the camp of sin. The time, it's a day of compromise, a day of sin, even in the very camp of those that profess the Lord. There's idolatry and immorality going on, and he gives this call, who is on the Lord's side? But the third thing I want to stress is this, there's a test. Look at verse 26, or listen to it again. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? And then he says this, let him come unto me. I would refer you, there's a tremendous picture here. And I would refer you to verse 15 and verse 16. Because as Moses is coming down from the mount, he has the tables of stone in his hand. We might say they're the Word of God. Now, I know that he broke those tables, and we taught the children when they were learning about the law of God, when Moses broke those tables of stone, it signified the people had broken God's commands. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's commands, and that's why Moses broke them. And of course, God wrote them again. But I want you to see the tremendous picture here. Moses is standing at the gate of the camp, outside the camp of sin, and he had the Word of God in his hand before he broke it. And he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Do you see the test? If you're going to be on the Lord's side, he's going to be your Savior and your God, then there must be that public testimony that you're standing with and under and for the Word and the truth of God as it's contained in the Scriptures. We have the Word of God today. It's not written on tables of stone. It's been preserved in God's precious Word, the Bible. Do you see the picture? We're called as a church. The minister, the preacher is called with God's Word in his hand to challenge men and women. Are you on the Lord's side? And if you are, then you must take a public stand for and under the Word of God and for all that it teaches and all that it declares. To side with the Lord, these men had to publicly stand with Moses under the Word of God. But there was another test. They not only had to stand publicly with Moses under the Word of God and for the Word of God. Do you notice they had to leave and disassociate from all the sin that was in the camp. Moses said, who was on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And Moses is at the gate. He's outside the camp. That's why Paul could say in Hebrews 13, I think it is, we're to go unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. They had to disassociate themselves from the idolatry, the religious error. They had to disassociate themselves from the immorality and from the indifference and the compromise. The time for compromise was over as far as Aaron and the Levites and the camp were concerned. They were either going to publicly stand under the Word of God and with the Word of God and for the Word of God with the man of God, Moses, or they were going to remain in the camp. Let me say, if you are not a Christian, if you have never experienced the redemption in Christ Jesus being applied to your own soul, then there is a lesson for you. You see, to be one of the Lord's people, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn away from it. And you need by faith to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as he is offered to you in the gospel. But let me also apply this to God's people. If we are on the Lord's side as his people and he is our Savior, then like Aaron, we have to disassociate ourselves from the religious error of the day and from the immorality of the day. And we have to live that godly and holy life in Christ Jesus and then take our stand publicly for the truth as it is revealed in Scripture. Will you pass the test? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Have you come to Christ for salvation? Are you taking your stand publicly for the teaching of the Word of God in this sinful day and generation in which we live? I want to close with this thought. Not only the truth that this challenge contains, the time that it was given, the test that it set, but the tragedy that it reveals. Let me read verse 26 one more time. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now you might think, where is the tragedy there? There were those and they heard the call of God through Moses and they assembled themselves with Moses. And that's commendable. And we salute the Levites who came from the camp and from the place of sin and compromise, and they stood with Moses. But here's the tragedy. There were many who did not give heed to the call of God through Moses. They were unlike the Levites who made a courageous, a bold, and a public decision to publicly side with the Lord and his cause. But there were many who refused. And the tragedy was this, that though they had the call of the Lord ringing in their ears, come unto me. And that remains the Lord's call. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. The tragedy was this, that when they refused the call of the Lord through Moses, if you read to the end of the chapter, you will discover that judgment entered into the camp and many were slain. And many fell down dead. And the sad tragedy is this, when it comes to the message of the gospel, that if you do not heed the warning voice of the Scriptures and the Word of God, and you reject the call of the Lord, then in the great eternity, your soul will perish. And therefore, I give the call one more time. It's not my call, it's the Lord's call. Through His Word, who is on the Lord's side? If you want to be on the Lord's side and have eternal life and be in that land that is fairer than day when our short, brief life on earth concludes. Then you must come unto Christ. Moses is a type of Christ. He gave the call, let him come unto me. You must come by faith and in repentance unto Christ. And then you'll be on the Lord's side.